I got adrenaline pumping out of me here, there, Dave. Thank you for taking us in there. It's time to get on our boots because it's time to start hiking again, walking the path. Welcome, everyone, to season 14 here at Nexus. Ah, it feels good to be back together. We are heading this fall into the tensions. And the whole point and purpose of this season is to travel together towards areas of tension in life, because it's in the tensions that we are stretched, that we grow. And so that's where we're headed for this year. But before we get into the tensions, I wanted to spend two Sundays doing something to sort of get us all on the same page together. And so next Sunday, we're going to mark time together. We're going to do a Sunday of blessings, marking time, a new season Sunday. We're going to pronounce blessings on seasons of life, and we'll have some baby dedication. That'll be good. It'll be exciting for that. But for this morning, though, I thought it'd be prudent to begin the year with a sort of a refresher, a reminder. Who are we at Nexus? What is this whole thing about? Why do we do this week after week? What are we doing together? How do we envision doing it? What does it mean to be a part of Nexus? What is our ethos, our DNA? What are we collectively? Well, I had a little road trip this summer with Nexus staff, and I learned a few things. We're heading for a little retreat to Niagara, and the first thing I learned about Nexus staff is that our beloved Hillary is a backseat driver. I was entrusted with driving the caravan to our retreat. And at one point, I guess I had frustrated her. She just spoke up from the back seat and said, "Would you speed up and pass that person?" Backseat driver, unbelievable. I did. I sped up, passed the person. I didn't realize she was a backseat driver. But speaking of Hillary, give her some love this morning when you see her parents, because there was a bit of chaos getting that room ready this morning for our Nexus kids. But backseat driver, the other troubling thing I learned about all of our staff is that none of them have a road trip song. We got in the car and I said, "Hey, should we put on a playlist? We need road trip music." And they're like, "What? What's up? Really? You gotta have a road trip song." And so I said, "You know, you got to put on mine is Roxette's Join the Joyride." I was trying to listen if anyone was whistling back here, the whistling part to the song. Anyone whistling? No, nobody knows that. Yeah, okay, there we go. Got to get the whistling part in there. Join the Joyride. That's my road trip theme song. I love starting with that. Gets the road trip ready. And I thought, this is sort of defines us at Nexus. That's what I would call this thing, the Joyride. Nexus is like a caravan, you could say. We're a traveling company walking a path together. We're on a joyride together. I hope it's a joy most of the time, anyway. But where are we going? What are we doing as a community? Where's the joyride taking us? Well, this summer, Kristen's family, the entire family, was gathering in Nova Scotia, and so our family got out to Nova Scotia, and first thing I wanted to do, I've told you I love Peggy's Cove. I wanted to go to Peggy's Cove, but I wanted to hike there. There's a little place called Polly's Cove. It's 2.5 kilometers as the crow flies from Peggy's Cove. And so my idea was simple. We would hike to Polly's Cove and then hike along the shore all the way to Peggy's Cove. Everybody was thrilled. Everybody thought this idea was great. Here we are. Look at us taking on. Isn't that beautiful, right? Boom. On the trail. Everybody having a good time. And next slide there. See, look, just breathtaking. Everybody doing well. We got to a certain point, though, and I had not done my research, because I realized if you look at Google Maps here, you hike along the coast, eventually, well, you hit Peggy's Cove, which is before, you know, where the lighthouse is. There's a rather large body of water in the way. And so we were about an hour and a half into our hike when we were standing in front of this body of water. Now what do we do? I'm like, whew, I wasn't expecting this. I can't hike in and around. And so it was time to head back to the car. And this is where things started to unravel. You like to think that as parents you're on the same page, but at this point the kids started to get grumpy. We want to go to Peggy's Cove. I'm like, hey, listen, I started pulling out all the platitudes. Kids, what do I tell you? Life gives you lemons, what do you do with it? Make lemonade, right? Yeah, that's right. So I had all my platitudes, Chris and I were on the same page, and then we started hiking back, but there was no path to the car. And Kristen was in the lead. She thought she knew best, and so take off, and it isn't long before we are enveloped in just absolute brush and mayhem. No path. We're getting nowhere. We're entirely lost. You can see this photo. I don't know if you can actually even see Evie. She's in this growth, just a little yellow there at the bottom. I took a lot of pictures on the way out when everyone was happy. This is the only one I got on the way back. Everybody's crying. Everybody, this is the worst. And again, you want to be a team as parents, but things started to falter. I said, Kristen, I don't think you know where you're going. We're lost. We need to get to high ground so we can scout out. She's like, you don't know what you're doing. This was your idea. So we start nattering at each other. And then it got to a point I was so frustrated. I said, I'm going in search of higher ground. And Kristen said, I'm carrying on. She said, kids, who's with me? My two oldest kids, Zoe and Huxley, those Judases, they went with Kristen. And Evie, my beloved, said, Father, I shall follow you. I'm curious in your head who you would follow in this situation. I think I know. But I know a thing or two. You got to get to high ground. And so I grabbed Evie. We're hiking through the bush. We finally made it to high ground. I could spot a path. I got us out there. First back to the car. Oh, thank you. 20 minutes later, the three sorry other folk show up, and it was hard not to have a certain grin on my face as they showed up. But then Huxley, who can be pretty harsh sometimes, he was not happy. He said, Dad, you literally wrote a book about why you should stay on a path, and you took us on a hike off a path, and it's a disaster. Touché. You get lost without a path. Your kids turn on you. They betray you. Everybody starts crying. Everybody's miserable. Without a path, people wander aimlessly. People get tired and miserable. Every caravan, every joyride, every traveling company needs a path. And here at Nexus, we are traveling the Jesus path, our path. This is what binds us. At Nexus, we're pursuing the way and path of Jesus. We understand the teachings, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus to be the path of life. It is the way of justice and mercy, love and grace, reconciliation and redemption, death and resurrection, and the never-ending quest to become more fully and authentically human. At Nexus, we're Jesus path people. And where do we get that language? People like Jesus path. In Acts 9, Paul's trying to go out and arrest Christians, and this is the first time that Christians are referred to as a group. They are people of the way, people of the path. And so the very first Christians understood themselves to be traveling a way, a path. We take our place, you could say, along a long line of spiritual ancestors who have decided to follow Jesus in his path. And our passion here at Nexus on top of that is our driving ethos. Nexus exists to present an alternative and fresh expression of the Christian path. For many, life is difficult and faith is hard. And so for the restless and the weary, the confused and curious, the disillusioned and disenfranchised, those about done with faith, those just beginning to explore, Nexus is passionate about exploring the Jesus path in honest and meaningful ways. We are on the Jesus path, and we're trying to approach it in a fresh way that's free of baggage. And my hope here for us at Nexus is that we not only find this to be a safe place to deconstruct our faith, but that what we present here is already a deconstructed faith. And I find it interesting and kind of heartening. David Bentley Hart, he's reflecting on Christianity in America, and he says this: Christianity never succeeded in America. Most Americans think of themselves as Christians. However, the only religion in America that ever flourished was America. And it twists everything into its own image. American religion is about civil order, prosperity, capitalism, and a moral code that is not premised on forgiveness so much as it is upon judgment. And that's, I think, been our desire here at Nexus, to help us realize most of what we see in North America is Christianity disguised as American religion. And desperately want to get back to the real thing, the core. And so we come to the Jesus path in surrender, but also in a curiosity, looking for what has been lost on it. What has been ignored? How can we recover it? Well, it's one thing to say you're going to travel a particular path together. It's quite another thing figuring out how to walk a path together. It's interesting walking. I don't know about you, but people walk at different speeds. Kristen's very fast when she walks. She's always ahead. It drives me nuts, and I got knee issues, so I'm always kind of hobbling along, but it's not just the question of, hey, how do we get on this path? It's how do we walk it together? How do we do that so we're, you know, somebody's not 5 miles ahead, somebody's struggling behind? How do we walk the path together? Well, at Nexus, we call these our practices. This is how we propose to walk the Jesus path together. So the following are collective practices here, you could say. First is this, spiritual growth and character development. We're striving to grow, develop, and mature. The Jesus path we travel is designed to help us grow and develop into fully flourishing human beings who love God and others. As such, at Nexus, we're interested in nurturing the spiritual growth and character development of everyone who chooses to journey with us. To achieve this, we'll explore the ancient tools and practices of our tradition, as well as provide opportunities to faith our practices so that our ordinary habits and routines are shaped by Jesus in his path. It's quite simply trying to live into Jesus' words. What is the greatest thing that we can do? Love God, love others. Matthew 22, an expert in the law tested him with the question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." I think you could say it this way. Our first practice is just a bit of a fancy way of saying we're trying to love God and love others as best we can. That's what we're striving for. Each of our practices are a way to help us sort of achieve that. But I get tired of religious jargon, so I'd frame it this way. If you strip away all the religious jargon and language, I would say our first practice boils down to this. Our goal here at Nexus is to help each of us become less of an asshole. That we can understand. Just a little bit less, week by week, maybe. This summer, this is my favorite book of the past 5 years. I love this book. You're going to hear a lot from this book because there's so many great quotes. But Harrison Scott Key, in his book, How to Stay Married, he tells the story of how he and his wife dealt with his wife's infidelity. She cheated on him and their struggle to make it work. And I know what you're thinking. That sounds like a real pick-me-up. But Harrison Scott Key, he's won the award for American humor, and he's in really good company. Jon Stewart, Trevor Noah, David Sedaris have all won this award as well. This guy is funny. And I love what he says about marriage. I think it applies to the spiritual life. This is what he says about marriage. "One of your greatest misconceptions, the one you must jettison as soon as is convenient to you, is that you're easy to live with. You're not. You're a monster. Marriage reveals this to you, though you'd prefer to blame your partner. The reality is that every marriage is a partnership of two broken assholes with good intentions and varying degrees of ability to deliver." He knows. That's it. Wow. And we want to start with that hard truth here. We're not easy to live with. I was laughing so much reading this book. Chris was like, "What are you reading?" And I said to her, this part, it sort of hit me. I said, "Honey, am I easy to live with?" And she's like, "How am I supposed to answer that question? I don't know." But it came as this moment. I'm like, I think I'm the easiest person in the world to live with. I think we all can walk around with that assumption, right? But we're not. And the next is we just want to own that and say, you know what? We're trying to be a little less of that. We're trying to grow. And so anytime you're here at Nexus, please don't get scared off by language like spiritual formation or spiritual direction or any other spiritual word we throw around at you. If it sounds a little too churchy, sorry about that, but it all boils down to this. Trying to love God and others, trying to grow, trying to seek to be more loving, more patient, more kind. Everything we do here at Nexus, from small groups to book clubs to Sunday mornings, has this in mind. Let's just move a little further on the path together. Second, our second practice is belonging and participation. We're striving to be an equitable community of mutual dignity and respect. We understand all people to be made in the image of God, and as such, we will work to affirm the worth and dignity of everyone. We strive to be a church community that practices welcoming, accepting, serving all people without qualification. We want there to be no barriers to belonging or participating at Nexus, regardless of economic power, gender, mental health, physical ability, race, sexuality, age, or ethnicity. We're striving to treat everyone with respect and dignity. One of the questions I get asked most often is, hey, is Nexus an affirming church? And affirming has become a very loaded word. Its definition seems to shift person by person, but I want to be explicitly clear about our practices, because being clear is reasonable and kind. LGBTQ folk, along with anyone else, can fully participate here as full members in our community for baptism, for service in the band, serving with the kids, leadership. Nothing's off the table. And at Nexus, we prefer the term barrier-free belonging. We want no barriers to anyone belonging here. There's no glass ceiling. Everyone can fully and completely participate in the life of our community. And at Nexus, our symbol of this is found in the ancient ritual of the Eucharist communion, the table. I've got myself in trouble over this before. It might not be a big deal to us. To some people it is, but our table is open to everyone. Everyone. Last Sunday of every month, that's the plan. Followed by Soup Sunday, that's the plan. Eucharist, communion table, everyone. Everyone can come. It's a practice where people who would normally never associate together come together as equals. And I actually see this as a very subversive political event for everyone who participates. In the words of Richard Beck, it brings real people divided in the larger world into a sweaty, intimate, flesh and blood embrace where there shall be no difference between them and the rest. Our table is our symbol that says, everyone, come, eat, take the bread, take the wine. We're all on the same level here. Third, there's five, so just in case you're tracking, hospitality and forgiveness. We're striving to invite others into our lives, give others our trust, and be willing to be vulnerable and forgiving. We seek to be a community that both gives and receives hospitality and forgiveness. We understand that the Jesus path is traveled best with company. We choose to not walk alone and invite others into our own personal journeys of faith, recognizing that growth and development comes through the wisdom and guidance of others. We acknowledge the tremendous vulnerability this requires. As such, our desire is to provide opportunities where relationships can develop to the point where we allow others to speak meaningfully into our lives. This must be done by invitation alone. We will encourage each other to extend this invitation to give others our trust and risk being vulnerable to help us grow and develop. To grow, to walk the path, we must invite others in. The reality is here at Nexus, people disagree on a variety of matters. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. You don't want homogeny. Our church is one where we're going to disagree on a lot of different things. And the one thing we're going to ask of all of us is that we not go sticking our nose and opinions and advice into other people's lives without invitation. And that's hard. That's hard. Because sometimes you see people, you know people, like, you know what?
if they would do this, if I could tell them this, we're like, just relax. We want to welcome each person to bring their pre-existing beliefs into our church. Come as you are, and as you come, we're going to humbly seek God's Spirit, always with mutual respect, healthy communication. You know, abusive language is never acceptable, but we want to be a people with a consistent posture of grace and hospitality. Don't want to always go shoving our advice or wisdom on others. It's got to be done by invitation. The trouble is, because we set that up as one of our values, it can be very tempting to come here and never invite others in. It's like, I'm part of the caravan, but never will I invite someone to speak meaningfully into my life. But to grow, to become more loving, to become more self-aware, we need the wisdom of others. And so while we hope people don't go spreading their advice and wisdom where it's not welcoming, welcome, we do hope that at some point all of us have the courage to say, you know what, I've been journeying with you so-and-so for a while at Nexus, speak into my life. I'm considering this, what do you think? Speak into that. And this is tricky, practice is risky, we're always in danger of getting wounded, hurt, somebody saying something that doesn't feel good maybe to us, and our most primal human instinct is always to lash out. Lash out at those who have hurt us, which is why we see forgiveness as the second end of the hospitality. We don't want to become jaded, cynical, or bitter. Nexus, we believe the Christian path calls us to the never-ending practice of forgiveness. It's a practice that calls us to transform those hurts inside of us and resurrect them by giving back love, joy, and peace. To travel the Christian path well means continually practicing the giving and receiving of forgiveness. Fourth, presence in place. We're striving to be present wherever we are. We want to walk the Christian path together, fully alert, awake, and aware. We want to travel the path with eyes wide open, trusting that God's Spirit is always at work around and ahead of us. As such, we're striving to be fully present and available to whoever is with us and wherever we find ourselves, at home, neighborhoods, places of work, play, within the Nexus community. Here's one of the things that we're going to start next Sunday. And sometimes at Nexus, we start things and don't tell you about it, and it gets weird. So I'm going to tell you about it. The beginning of every service, someone, maybe me, maybe someone else, is going to invite you to take your phone and turn it off. Or put it on airplane mode. Why would you do that? We want to invite you to the freedom, because that's what it is, freedom of having no distractions and being present with us. And I know for some of us, like, I don't know if I can do it. So it's not going to be a scolding thing. It's going to be an invitation. Hey, would you like to be free? Then go ahead and hit that button. Put it into airplane mode, because it's freedom. We're going to get into more about that with our series on tensions, but I become more and more convinced that our phones, while they are miracles, they're also trouble and constantly diverting our attention. And if we're going to take place and presence seriously, we're going to invite you, it's only an hour. Turn our phones onto quiet mode. Fifth and finally, we're striving to live generously. We want to practice receiving all of life as a gift, believing all good things to be gifts from God. As such, we practice traveling the path with open hearts and hands, ready to receive, but also ready to generously give to others from what we have been given, whether it's our time, money, energy, resources, or capabilities. We want to be generous, open-handed community. We will say it again and again and again, try to remind us to receive life as a gift, and to respond generously to that. I'm going to ask the band to come, and I want to close with another quote from Harrison Scott Key. There could be one of these every week, because I'm just really in love with this book. But he and his wife were dealing with the affair. And at one point, he recounts going to a pastor to talk about it, and the first pastor he talked about it said, well, we could excommunicate her if you want. And it took him on a journey to find a different faith group. And they ended up in this church that ministered to them in a marvelous way. And I think this quote captures for me what church is about. It moves me. He says this, what did our church do for us exactly during this time? They came when I called. They handed children to their spouses and got in the car. They listened to news nobody wants to hear. They sat with Lauren, his wife too. They did not tell her she was doing a bad thing and must now do this or that good thing to fix it. She seemed pretty familiar with the moral equations in play. They did not give answers, not at first. They did the harder thing and asked questions. What does it feel like to be here? And in the answering, her heart awoke to something. To know people could see your inside and not revile you, this seemed a surprising new variable of the equation. And they texted me, checking in, and this bourbon won't drink itself, and you drank all my bourbon. They hug us, they feed us, we feed them. They feed our children and we feed theirs. And they feed our dog when we're out of town. And when we're out of town, and when they're out of town, we feed their cats. And then this. All we're doing is feeding each other, basically, with hymns and prayers and sermons thrown in there to remind us why. Yes. That's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do. Feed each other in some songs and prayers and sermons to remind us why. So as we begin another year, another season, come, join the joy ride.